also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
There's no shortage of lobbying at the State House. So, Secretary of State, I'd like to start with some questions about your proposal to overhaul lobbying laws in Rhode Island. Where does that stand?
It is still currently being discussed and reviewed during the legislative session. I am cautiously optimistic that we've answered the bulk of concerns and addressed, you know what, we're really good issues that people pointed out. And so looking forward to hopefully in this last part of the session, getting it passed.
What is holding this up when there's such an obvious need for lobbying reform? We saw how some previous issues involving 38 studios had to be dropped because of the weakness of Rhode Island statute. So what's holding it back?
I don't think there's so much anything holding it back. It's just the legislative session has its own rhythm. You know, we've had hearings in most recently Senate Judiciary, and you know, I don't think, you know, it'll definitely be given very strong consideration.
And before we go to Scott, you've talked about striking a balance between people petitioning our government and the public's right to know. Is that really an accurate depiction of the landscape, since most lobbyists are paid money and with few exceptions, the public is not there in the same way?
Yeah, no, the concern with lobbying registration that we have right now is that it is unclear because there are two statutes. So a normal person goes to read them and they can't figure out whether they should be registering or not registering. And so, yes, the paid lobbyists are fairly simple. I mean, if you're being paid, you're a lobbyist. But it's the people who are representing other groups, either on a volunteer basis or who happen to be testifying, that suddenly might feel like, oh, I'm lobbying. It's not a registration of all lobbying activity. It is that in which more resources are being invested, either by paying or putting together financial resources to push a particular agenda. That's what we want to know in a democracy.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering, Madam Secretary, you were not very happy with voter ID. In fact, you were against it when you ran for Secretary of State. Now that you are in office and your jurisdiction, of course, one of them is voting, are you pushing to get rid of voter ID, or is it something we're going to have to live with?
So right now, you know, it is the law of Rhode Island, and I am, of course, following it. I am making sure that anybody who needs a photo ID has access to a free photo ID. Every single special election that we've had last year and going into this election year, we've had voter outreach events where we bring the machine that takes the pictures. We verify your polling place, your address. So we take it as an opportunity to do outreach, but also to distribute IDs to whoever can. I am in the process of studying the impact of the statute. I've said before that without data on what is the effect really here, it's just your statement or my statement against somebody else's. And so I am seriously having conversations with academics who look at elections to see whether there's been a negative effect here in Rhode Island. And if so, then we can then use that information to push against push for its repeal.
As Secretary of State, you have a nonpartisan role, but you've been a partisan Democrat who has endorsed candidates like Hillary Clinton. Is that a conflict?
I don't think so, because we have a very transparent election system. And so I may have my own personal supports as an individual, but other people are really running the day of elections. You have local boards of canvassers. You've got the state board of elections that actually oversees the day of election. And so I don't see that as a conflict per se.
Looking at voter turnout, I'm wondering why Rhode Island's not doing more. You aren't doing more with early voting, instituting that. A lot of states have had success with that.
No, well, I actually have. I am in the second year of proposed legislation for early in-person voting. And actually, I have been everywhere I go speaking of the possibilities that people have right now under current legislation to do emergency mail ballots. You can show up right now. If you don't think you can vote on Tuesday for whatever reasons that may have come up, you can go to your city or town hall and fill out an emergency mail ballot right there and then. So it's a form of early voting that does exist. I would like to rename
it. It's not well publicized.
I know. Well, and that's where we have to work on that. But I have absolutely been speaking to that all over the place. And my early in-person voting legislation is specifically going to address by renaming it and calling it early in-person voting, adding a Saturday and Sunday before an election as potential voting days as well.
We're talking here with Secretary of State Nelly Gorabeja. And here in Rhode Island, the Attorney General's Office has the responsibility for enforcing the state's public records law. Do you support that approach, or would it make more sense to emulate Massachusetts, where the Secretary of State has responsibility for enforcing the public records law?
You know, in the end, it's really not so much about which entity enforces it, but rather the leadership that that person in that office takes on. And so I don't think there's one silver bullet out there in terms of governmental structure.
But what do you think? Which office makes more sense to have that responsibility?
We actually had a very good relationship with the Attorney General's office with regards to the open records law and open meetings, particularly information being distributed. I welcome the conversation and having, you know, the structures further studied.
The Attorney General is the state's chief law enforcement officer, and law enforcement organizations oftentimes don't want to release information to media. So is that a conflict for the AG to be in charge of enforcing the state's public records law?
You know, I think that these are conversations that we should have on the public square, but I don't necessarily think that one person like the Attorney General is less likely to be either transparent or accountable. He is an elected official, right? So if, as you put pressure on him, there is a public conversation that's happening.
I don't think you're going to see people marching on the Attorney General's South Main Street office due to his posture on public records laws.
Nope. I'm wondering what you would do to tighten up our campaign finance laws. I mean, one thing that concerns a lot of people, should elected officials who owe back fines for violating campaign finance laws, should they be allowed to keep running for office?
I think that we absolutely have to tighten that. And I say that as somebody who has to live with the system. Our campaign finance reporting processes are extremely outdated. In fact, they require candidates to have to hand enter every single contribution, where every other state in the country, you can just upload it from your database program. So there's a lot of issues that absolutely need to be addressed with campaign finance, and hopefully at some point the Board of Elections will be addressing that.
Do you have legislation in that would do that?
Not yet.
You've gotten some national exposure as Rhode Island's first statewide elected Latina official. So I'm curious about your plans for the future. Do you plan to seek re-election in 2018? And could you ever see yourself running for governor?
I am absolutely excited about the possibility of running for re-election if the voters of Rhode Island will have me for another term. The Department of State is a fantastic opportunity to do a lot of good for the public and for our state. What happens after that, we'll see.
So you're not ruling it out, in other words.
I am very focused on the work that I'm doing. And I think that that's important for people who are in elected office.
You have a new, it's not quite an app, but you have a new approach that Rhode Islanders can use on their mobile phones to get information from the Secretary of State's office. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, no, we've taken what was on our on the desktop, so the Voter Information Center, and restructured it so that it's a downloadable mobile app on your phone. So if you go and use your browser on your phone and go to sos.ri.gov/VIC for Voter Information Center, you can download this little app that will always tell you what your voting status is, what your polling place. It'll give you your sample ballot. It'll even tell you who your elected representatives are, down to the General Assembly member, in case you want to write to him or her.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Secretary of State Nelly Gorabeja.
Always a pleasure, guys.